Why do the gospel accounts differ? Why did Jesus use parables? Are there demon-possessed people today? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is the big book of New Testament questions and answers. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers is written by Dr. Michael Eschelbach of Concordia University, Chicago. The Big Book of New Testament Questions and Answers.
Doesn't matter. If you freeze Loki or kills him, the Tesseract's lost.
Stark, we need a plan of attack.
I have a plan. Attack.
I'd sit this one out, Cap.
I don't see how I can.
These guys come from legend. They're basically gods.
There's only one god, man. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that.
There's a scene from one of those Marvel movies with superheroes flying around, leaping around. Captain America refuses to accept that even the good guys who claim to be gods, much less the bad guys who claim to be gods, are in fact the true God. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to spend the first hour talking with Pastor Ted Giese about themes from the Apostles' Creed that we can see in reflection, in shadow, in these Marvel movies about superheroes, some of whom believe that they are gods. Then we'll continue our series on the Lutheran Confessions, talking with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House about the third article of the Apostles' Creed, the true God, by the way, God the Holy Spirit, from Luther's Large Catechism. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He joins us to talk about themes from the Apostles' Creed in Marvel movies. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, a Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. And he made a presentation at a recent Lutheran youth conference titled Marvel Movies and the Creed, Defend, Guard, Protect, Avenge. Ted, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
We have talked about Christian themes, theological themes, in all kinds of films with you over the last year or so. What about these Marvel movies especially lend themselves to a discussion of the triune God?
I think one of the things, one of the reasons is these movies are still embedded with Christian capital. And they themselves, these current round of Marvel movies, are based on source material that's a little further back in our own history in North America here, to a time where they were even more regularly delving into the Christian capital that was available to them. And it was just kind of even more so part of the air that they breathed. And that kind of stuff just kind of comes into play. So it's interesting to see how much it keeps just tapping into or touching on some of these parts of the Apostles' Creed.
So introduce us to the Creed, just basically to its outline before we get into some of the examples you provided for us from these Marvel movies.
Well, in the little clip we heard from the Avengers film where Captain America talks about the one true God, we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, for the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. That's the God that Captain America is pointing to. Of course, that's from the Athanasian Creed, and we're going to be looking at the Apostles' Creed. So in the Apostles' Creed, it's in three articles, and each of those articles focuses on one of the persons of the Holy Trinity. Maybe to kick things off, we can look at the first article. So the first article is under kind of the category of creation, and it goes like this. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And then there's the question, what does this mean? And Luther gives an answer to the question. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve, and obey him. This is most certainly true. So a little side note there, you notice that he says, he defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil. So this gets into the kind of category of Avenger, and a lot of these Marvel movies focus in on that idea because you have the group, the Avengers. But the true Avenger for the Christian is God, God the Father, particularly the first person of the Trinity.
So we have these themes of protection, provision, all of those things that are there that are going to be reflected in the first part of our discussion here, in the clips that we're going to hear.
Yeah, and dealing also with the idea of creation itself. So the first little video, we have a little clip, comes from this movie called Thor: The Dark World, which is one that we reviewed in November 15th, 2013, so a little ways ago now. Maybe we can listen to that now.
Some believe that before the universe, there was nothing. They're wrong. There was darkness. And it has survived.
So what's there, Pastor Giese, in that little brief clip?
Well, thinking about I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, we get into a description of what was going on at creation. And the voice you hear there is Anthony Hopkins playing the character of Odin, who is the All-Father, who is the father of Thor and the adoptive father of Loki in that kind of world view in this this corner of the Marvel Universe. And it's from that movie, Thor: The Dark World. So what we have there is Odin talking about before the beginning of the universe. And he says some people think that there was nothing, but that's not true. Except as a Christian, we also would think that there was, something there before the creation of everything. But we wouldn't say that the thing that was there was darkness. What we would say the thing was there would be God. God is the only thing that was there before creation. So we do have this character who is labeled as a god within that Marvel universe talking about creation. And it should just kind of be one of those low-hanging fruit moments that for a Christian viewer, you hear the mention of that about creation, and you should ask yourself, okay, well, what do I believe about that? So it's a comparison-contrast moment.
This next clip that we're going to hear, where does it come from, and what should we be listening for?
The second clip, now this is from the Avengers film. This is from 2012, and this is a movie before we were doing reviews together here on Issues, etc. But in it, Loki, the adopted son of Odin, is on Earth, and he's demanding to be worshipped. So from the Creed, remember that part where it talks about, for all of this, it is my duty to thank and praise and serve and obey him, speaking about God. So kind of connected to worship. So let's look at what is going on in this clip.
Kneel before me. I said, is not this simpler? Is this not your natural state? It's the unspoken truth of humanity that you crave subjugation. The bright lure of freedom diminishes your life's joy in a mad scramble for power, for identity. You were made to be ruled. In the end, you will always kneel.
Not to men like you.
There are no men like me.
There are always men like you.
Look to your elder people. Let him be an example.
You know, the last time I was in Germany and saw a man standing above everybody else, we ended up disagreeing.
So what do we find there, Pastor Giese, in that clip?
Well, you have there Loki, who wants to be worshipped as God, and he is not being received as God. So you have the one fellow who stands up in the crowd full of people who are kneeling. This is all taking place in Germany. It's clear that that person is a Jewish person, and he's not going to have any of this. The person that he's referring to that Loki is more like, and the one that you hear then Captain America pop in there and he saves that man, and the one that Captain America is pointing to is Hitler. So he's saying Loki is not like God, Loki is like Hitler. So this is a very different kind of individual. You know, this is not anything like what God is like, even though Hitler himself was one who received a lot of praise and worship from people in his short lifetime. In Scripture, though, we do have St. Paul say that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That's from Philippians. So we do know that this is one of those things where the scene is partially correct, but the object of worship is wrong. So, yes, every knee will bow to Jesus, but no, every knee does not bow to individuals like this Loki, the fictional character in this Avengers Assemble movie. So, very interesting, though. It's another one of those points where, as a viewer, when you see something like that, you need to just kind of take a second and clue in to what it all relates to.
So, we're finding there, it's kind of the truth by truth being spoken by characters that are speaking the truth, but speaking it from wrongful motives or applying it wrongly, but that what they say is still true. I noticed the interaction there. You know, you were made to be ruled, and the response wasn't, no, we weren't. It was not by men like you.
Right. So, yeah, it's very interesting. And often what you find in these movies is that the villain characters are the ones that are bringing some of the truth forward. But again, just like in our actual lives, it's kind of more like what happens with Jesus and the devil in the wilderness, that the devil quotes Scripture, but for his own means, like to his own ends. So sometimes these truths are half-truths mingled with a lie or misdirected. But often that's how they show up in these movies. So, you know, sometimes you have to listen pretty carefully to what the villain characters are saying, and Loki is the villain character in this film. The next clip kind of resolves some of this for us, and it's from Thor: The Dark World. And we have here, it references events to the Avengers film that we were just thinking about. And here we have an internal reference within the Marvel canon, the Marvel story itself that they're unfolding in these various movies, the meta-narrative, where Odin is now talking to Loki. So now, these guys are labeled as gods often within this story, but listen kind of carefully to what they say to each other, what Odin says to Loki.
I really don't see what all the fuss is about.
Do you not truly feel the gravity of your crimes? Wherever you go, there is war, ruin, and death.
I went down to Midgard to rule the people of Earth as a benevolent god. Just like you.
We are not gods. We're born, we live, we die. Just as humans do.
give or take 5,000 years.
All this because Loki desires a throne.
It is my birthright.
Your birthright was to die as a child, cast out onto a frozen rock. If I had not taken you in, you would not be here now to hate me.
When we come back from the break, Pastor Ted Giese will explain to us how that particular cut, that brief conversation between two gods in the Marvel Universe, how it reflects some themes of the Apostles' Creed on this Tuesday afternoon, August the 18th. That's our conversation with Pastor Ted Giese.
Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Shave, Director of LCMS Urban and Inner City Mission. Our inner cities and Mission Field USA are groaning for the gospel. At Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, October 12th through 14th, we will present Stand Firm in the City, an urban ministry conference with great speakers and discussions. For information on Stand Firm in the City, call 260-452-2204 or check out ctsfw.edu/urbanministryconference2015.
Relevant worship isn't about trying to look and act like the rest of the world to appeal to the culture around us, but relevant worship is about Christ. Hope Lutheran Church of Birmingham brings you truly relevant worship, where sinners gather to hear God's word and receive his gifts of forgiveness and peace. Visit us online at hopebham.org, that's hopebham.org, or give us a call at 205-956-1930. We'll see you Sunday.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I don't know about you. I want no part in some church that began in 1517.
Pastor Will Whedon speaking at this year's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
I mean, I am not interested in it. Why would I be? I want the church that began with Jesus Christ, which was founded by his apostles, and in which the teachers of the church continued to teach for centuries. I want to be part of that church. And the self-understanding of the Lutheran church is that we are the Catholic Church of the West.
You can listen to Pastor Whedon's entire presentation, Making the Case for a Lutheran Approach to the Church Fathers, and teachings by Paul Meyer, Chris Roseborough, Jonathan Fisk, Molly Hemingway, and David Menton on an audio DVD from the Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, we're talking about themes from the Apostles' Creed in the Marvel movies. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. Before the break, we heard that cut from Thor: The Dark World, Odin and Loki having a conversation. What do we find there, Pastor Giese, by way of a theme from the first article of the Apostles' Creed?
Well, this is the tipping of the hand. Here we've got Odin saying, "We are not gods. They are like other men. They just live longer." So this takes them out of the category of God and puts them into the category of creature, something that is made by God. And I think that's an interesting thing within the internal consistency of the larger Marvel story. So for Christians watching these movies, it's something to take note of when you notice something like that. Also, Loki wanting his throne had no real interest in defending, guarding, or protecting people. He himself was the evil actor in that whole scenario of him going down to Earth. Odin, on the other hand, is the one who defended, guarded, and protected Loki from his childhood and gave him house and home, food and drink, all of those creaturely things that he needed. So kind of an interesting mix of things going on just in that quick little interaction between the two of them. So the other thing, too, is that neither Loki nor Odin ever talk about themselves making mankind in order for them to worship them. That doesn't come up in this at all. So presumably someone other than these Asgardians were involved in the whole process of creation itself. So that's how these all kind of connect together, I think, in the to the first article of the Creed.
Well, that brings us to the second article of the Creed. Introduce us to it, and then we'll hear some examples from those Marvel movies.
Yeah, so the main theme for the second article of the Creed is redemption, and this is the second article. And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And then the question, what does this mean? And Luther's answer, I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. So the video that we have to kind of look at, the clip, is from the first Thor film in 2011, which we, again, that was before we were doing the reviews together. So from this, it's a comparison contrast moment. Think about this character of Thor, who is the son of Odin within this Marvel movie franchise, and kind of compare and contrast him with Jesus. And we're going to think about this after we hear the clip.
There won't be a kingdom to protect if you're afraid to act. The Jotuns must learn to fear me, just as they once feared you.
That's pride and vanity talking, not leadership. You've forgotten everything I taught you. But a warrior's patience.
While you wait and be patient, the Nine Realms laugh at us. The old ways are done. You'd stand giving speeches while Asgard falls.
You are a vain, greedy, cruel boy!
And you are an old man and a fool!
Yes. I was a fool. To think you were ready.
Father.
Hey!
Thor, Odin's son, you have betrayed the express command of your king. Through your arrogance and stupidity, you have opened these peaceful realms and innocent lives to the horror and desolation of war! You are unworthy of these realms, unworthy of your title! You're unworthy of the loved ones you have betrayed. I now take from you your power in the name of my father and his father before. My old and all father.
Whosoever holds this hammer, if he be worthy, shall possess the power of Thor.
Well, there's a lot there. Where would you begin, Pastor Casey?
Well, thinking back to what we were just talking about from the first article, you'll notice that Odin says, in the name of my father, and his father before him. So this is not standard Christian kind of way of looking at things. In fact, it kind of almost starts to sound a little more like Mormonism in there a little bit, too. But, you know, set that aside for a second. Maybe think more about Thor's relationship with Odin. And let's compare and contrast that with, within the Holy Trinity, God the Father's relationship with God the Son's relationship, Jesus Christ. You know, in that... Odin says to Thor, you're a vain, greedy, cruel boy. And Thor says back to Odin, you're an old man and a fool. They do not have the sort of relationship that Jesus and God the Father have as we find it in Holy Scripture, which is the place to find what their relationship is like. So, for instance, why does Jesus and God the Father have the relationship that they have? From John chapter 10, we have Jesus explain that. He says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." So their relationship is much different, and within this clip we just listened to, Thor does not lay down his life and pick it up again on his own in such a way. He isn't laying aside his power on his own. His incarnation, as it were, is not a charge he received from his Father the way it works within the Godhead with Jesus and God the Father. Thor is being sent back to learn him a lesson, like he's sent to Earth, rather, to learn him a lesson. Jesus isn't sent that way. So that's kind of one of the key things in this, is that Thor is being stripped of his power. He's having his power taken away from him. And that's not the way it works with Jesus. So this is a definite contrast between the two. It sits in that area of the creed where we talk about the incarnation, specifically how Jesus came to us. The creed says that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And in the case of Thor within these Marvel movies, he arrives fully as a man, like a full-grown person. He's not through birth coming into our lives. And while he suffers because his powers have been set aside, his purpose for suffering is completely different. Again, it's because he's trying to learn. He's being forced to learn a lesson about humility and gentleness and kindness and self-sacrifice.
When we come back, we will stay with that theme of self-sacrifice. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're talking about themes from the Apostles' Creed in the Marvel movies. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, and he's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. Here in the first hour, we're talking about themes from the Apostles' Creed in the Marvel movies. In hour two of Issues Etc., Pastor Paul McCain will join us. Continue our series on the Lutheran Confessions, Luther's Large Catechism in the Apostles' Creed, the third article, God the Holy Spirit. That's hour two of Issues Etc. Ted, before the break, we were talking about a theme of self-sacrifice that runs through a lot of these superhero movies, well, movies in general. What are your thoughts there when it comes to the Marvel Universe?
And this is where it links back in with the general theme of the second article, which is redemption. That self-sacrifice is almost every single time set up in such a way that the hero is sacrificing themselves for the good of others, to protect others from death, to save sometimes the entire world, like on a big scale kind of thing, sometimes the universe in some of these movies, it gets pretty grandiose. But that's what it's always linking back to. So there's always this kind of like little mini death and resurrection moment, usually. Like that tends to be a part of these as well. So Jesus, though, when he lays down his life, it's done completely and totally willingly. And that's also kind of an element of these movies, too, is that they go into it knowing that they will likely die. In fact, it's not even there's a probability that I might die. Often at the apex of the film, it's that they are sure that they're going to die. And that's part of the nature of the heroic self-sacrifice that occurs in these movies. So we do have a moment that happens in this same movie, this the first Thor film, where it all kind of comes back around again. Now, we could have played an audio clip for it, but it's not really good radio. It's just, you know, this rather long clip where Thor actually, without any of his powers yet, faces his brother, a minion of his brother's come to, cause wreak havoc. And he walks into that situation believing firmly that he will die. But he's doing it to save his new girlfriend, this woman Jane, and her co-workers, her colleagues. And because of his self-sacrifice, he has now, quote-unquote, learned his lesson, and he receives back his powers. He then smotes the minion that's come from his brother. And as he's doing all that, you hear Natalie Portman as Jane, his girlfriend, exclaim, "Oh, my God," which kind of gets back into that idea of Thor as a quote-unquote god with a small g. Again, this is so common. It's in all of these movies. You have in the first Avengers movie from 2012 a moment where Iron Man does the same sort of thing. He grabs a nuke and the bomb, and he flies it up through a wormhole out into some far reach of outer space to protect the city of New York from being destroyed. So you see this over and over and over again along the way. These are sort of types to Jesus's anti-type. And really it's kind of important to kind of put them into some kind of context. These heroes tend not to be good analogies directly one-to-one for Jesus himself. In their redeeming work, they are more analogous to the judges from the book of Judges. And they themselves in the book of Judges, like Samson and Gideon and people like that, they're pointing forward to Jesus. So in that way, this is kind of how that redeeming, self-sacrificing work, as portrayed by these heroes, kind of links back to Jesus. It's type and anti-type, them being types and Jesus being the anti-type.
The next clip comes from this last year's latest Avengers movie. What should we listen for here?
Well, over and over again, too, like there's this kind of idea of worthiness that comes in. Like these characters are trying to prove worthiness, these heroes. And you heard with the hammer, there was when Thor had his power stripped away, Odin says, whoever should, wield this hammer will have the power of Thor. And then he proves his worthiness, and he's able to wield the hammer again. So the clip that we've got is, like we said, from Avengers Age of Ultron. And it's a clip, and it's kind of a fun moment in the movie where they're trying to lift Thor's hammer.
Whatever, man, it's a trick.
Well, please be my guest.
Come on. Really?
Yeah.
Now, Clint, you've had a tough week. We won't hold it against you if you can't get it up.
You know I've seen this before, right?
Yeah!
And I...
still don't know how you do it. Smell the silent judgment. Please, Stark, by all means. Never one to shrink from an honest challenge.
Get after it.
Here we go. It's physics.
Physics.
All right, so if I lift it, I then rule Asgard?
Yes, of course.
I will be reinstituting Prima Nocta. Be right back.
Thank you.
Are you even pulling?
Are you on my team?
Just represent, pull.
All right, let's go.
Go, Steve, no pressure.
Come on, Cap.
Nothing.
Okay, what was going on there?
Well, there's you hear little bits of the different characters. There was a little squeaking noise. That squeaking noise was Captain America just moving it a little bit, and that kind of distresses Thor. Of course, you hear Iron Man in there. He's a bit of a misogynist jerk. You hear Bruce Banner in there, the Incredible Hulk, trying to lift it as well. So all these characters are trying to do this, and the reason it's in the movie at all is because it's a plot device. It's set up in such a way that it's kind of going to be a key to unlock something later in the movie in terms of whether or not we should trust a particular character. And the next little quick clip we have is a clip from later in the movie where that happens. So the character is called The Vision, who is sort of Jarvis, this computer program version 2.0, now in a corporeal body that has kind of the fingerprints of the villain Ultron all over it, because Ultron was the one who was trying to make this thing in the first place. But it's been co-opted now, and they're having a conversation, and this is the clip that will connect those two together.
Maybe I am a monster. I don't think I'd know if I were one. And not what you are. And not what you intended. So there may be no way to make you trust me. But we need to go.
When we come back on this Tuesday afternoon, Pastor Ted Giese will explain what we just heard there. In particular, a theme of worthiness that runs through that particular Marvel film. We're looking at themes from the Apostles' Creed in the Marvel movies. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. Ted, before the break, we heard a brief clip from Avengers Age of Ultron. It involved the hammer of Thor. Talk about this theme of worthiness, especially when it comes to whether or not someone is able to wield that hammer.
So what happens at the end of that little, what the Vision says there is he just kind of somewhat nonchalantly just picks the hammer up and hands it to Thor. And of course, all the other Avengers are standing right there. and suddenly they know that they can trust him. They don't have to worry about Ultron's evil fingerprints on the Vision. So within the kind of context of the second article of the Creed, this in the area of redemption, and thinking about worthiness particularly, you know, the question then kind of comes to mind, why is Christ Jesus counted as worthy? So his worthiness becomes our worthiness. So we receive by grace all of Christ's gifts and blessings. So why would the Christian think that Jesus is worthy? It's not because he wields some big mighty hammer or fights aliens or evil robots or anything like that. So the book of Revelation does talk about Jesus in this way. This is from Revelation chapter 5. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. So now that's pointing to the cross and Jesus' crucifixion. So that, again, is that self-sacrifice. That is that moment of redemption. And it's not just a moment of redemption for the moment, but it is redemption for all time into eternity. And Mark kind of puts it like this from Mark's gospel. And this is kind of an important thing to think about in connection to all of this. So in Mark's gospel, Mark says, they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. Now, this is towards the cross, right, towards Jerusalem, where he will be crucified. And it continues, and talking and taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. So that's from Mark chapter 10. So Jesus said it would happen. It happened just like he said it was going to happen. And then after 3 days, he's risen from the dead like he said. And after that, he is there, and he's able to point back to the fulfillment of that promise. So he is shown to be trustworthy and true. So his worthiness is in the promise fulfilled, and that's a lot different than what these guys are all trying to hit at. When they're lifting that hammer, or trying to lift that hammer, rather, for instance, you've got Iron Man, who's looking at his own personal gains from this, that he's going to be able to be the ruler of Asgard, and he's going to reinitiate kind of a misogynistic rule that he could sleep with all the women there before they're married. So, you know, like, it's completely different. It's, you know, this is another one of those contrast moments. Jesus is doing this for you. They're trying to lift the hammer to have the power for themselves. So when it comes again to these characters, they don't fit into the category of gods, even though that term is used for them every once in a while, particularly for these Asgardians. So within that meta-narrative, you know, like, they are creatures and not gods, even within the meta-narrative laid out by the people who make these Marvel comic books and Marvel movies. So kind of a fun little clip that kind of illustrates that all over again is this next one, and it's a small clip from Avengers Assemble, and involves Loki and the Incredible Hulk, and lots of the listeners will probably have this in their mind.
Enough! You are all of you beneath me. I am a god, you dull creature, and I will not be bullied by...
Puny god.
What did we hear there?
Well, we have Loki calling the Incredible Hulk a dull creature, demanding to be worshipped, and the Hulk proves that Loki is a puny god, quote-unquote, that he's nothing like the god confessed by Captain America earlier in the same film, nothing like Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, within the Godhead either. So that's kind of a maybe a place to stop with the second article of the Creed, that really when it comes to Jesus in relation to all of this, it's a better way to look at it in terms of contrast and not so much analogy, except if you're thinking about kind of like the judges from the book of Judges pointing forward to Jesus, that kind of a connection, type and anti-type, but not a one-to-one comparison or analogy.
The third article of the Creed has as its theme sanctification, deals with the person of the Holy Spirit. How would you introduce us to that, and then what have you found there in the Marvel movies that make a connection?
Yes, again, the third article, sanctification. So the third article is this: I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And then the question, what does this mean? And the answer from Luther: I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. So the Holy Spirit, as the third person of the Holy Trinity, is not as easy to just kind of see, really pretty much in any movie. And the way that the explanation works, even in this article, is that you're really kind of looking at the fingerprints of the Holy Spirit on humanity. You see the way in which the Holy Spirit is giving those gifts that have been won by Christ to individuals, and that's really the kind of connection. So going through this, really it's kind of focusing in on some of those portions of the third article, like the Holy Christian Church, forgiveness, resurrection of the body. We're going to kind of zip along through some of those. For starters, the Holy Christian Church. There is in that movie, Avengers Age of Ultron, a physical church building that plays a key role, and it's a set piece for the movie. Ultron, the villain, uses it as his base of operation, and it's a church that's a kind of a circular church. It's a church in the round. So the altar is, the chancel would be right kind of in smack dab in the center. And where the altar should be is where Ultron has set up a throne and where he sits himself. And in the movie, he makes a comment. He says that the people of the town put the building in the middle of the city so that everyone could be equally close to God. So here we have a situation where Ultron wants to be God. He elects himself as judge and jury of humanity. He wants to sit as God at the end of the time of man, after bringing his own apocalypse on them. And after he does all of this because he read the internet and he found humanity to be lacking. He has no grace. He has no mercy. So he's kind of more like Loki in that regard. So he's not the God that Captain America confesses in that first Avengers film either. So there's that. And what Joss Whedon, the writer and director of this film, does here, he makes the mistake that many people make of equating the church building with the church. And in Luther's Large Catechism, Luther addresses this, and he makes a real distinction, saying that the church is really like the bride of Christ. It's the body of Christ, and it's not the not a building. So in a location anywhere, it's the congregation and not the building in which the congregation congregates. So that's what you might want to think about in terms of the Holy Christian Church when you see church buildings and things like that in movies or when you hear people talk about it, particularly in this case. So here we have a clip, though, that is going to get maybe more into that whole idea of the church not being a building but a group of people. So keeping in mind the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, we have a clip from Avengers Age of Ultron.
How could I let this happen?
Hey, hey, you okay?
This is all our fault.
Hey, look at me. It's your fault. It's everyone's fault. Who cares? Are you up for this? Are you? Look, I just need to know because the city is flying. Okay, look, the city is flying. We're fighting an army of robots. And I have a bow and arrow. None of this makes sense. But I'm going back out there because this is my job. Okay, and I can't do my job and babysit. It doesn't matter what you did or what you were. If you go out there, you fight, and you fight to kill. Staying here, you're good. I'll send your brother to come find you, but if you step out that door, you are an Avenger.
Explain that to us, Pastor Giese.
Yeah, this is kind of the big, kind of final, big, giant battle in the movie. You have the character of Hawkeye, who doesn't really have a lot of super-duper powers like some of these other people have. He says, I got a bow and arrow, and I'm fighting robots, and the city's flying. It's all very crazy. And he's talking to a character named the Scarlet Witch, who was a villain in the film leading up to that moment. So in this scene, you have a bunch of things buried in there. You have Hawkeye speaking to this character, the Scarlet Witch, and as he talks to her, it's a call to repentance. It's a call to something new for the character. It's a call for her to be part of the Avengers and no longer to be outside of it, no longer to be a villain opposed to it. So this is a call, this is like the Holy Spirit calling, gathering people into the church, into Christ. So you have a little bit of a kind of an analogy there, a connection there as well. Even villains like the Scarlet Witch occasionally get called into the Avengers, and when we think of our own human condition, every single last person in the church is, someone who is riddled with sin and could be seen in many ways in opposition to God. So we are all sort of villains, particularly before our baptism when we have our original sin. We're set against God. And so here we have this character being called in. By this being called in, they're going to put off their old selves and become something new. So you kind of have a little hint of baptismal regeneration. This is all definitely in the category of forgiveness. Now, the thing that's interesting about it, maybe from a Christian point of view, is that that's all really great. But for us, when we think about all of this, our faith isn't just faith in the abstract or faith in general. It's faith in something specific, in the object of faith being Christ Jesus himself. So forgiveness doesn't come by the works that we do to somehow gain it. It's given to us as a gift. And in the context of the movie, when she walks out that door, she begins to fight, and she fights as an Avenger. So you have this kind of proving by her works that she is now forgiven instead of trusting in the one who forgives, if you're catching my meaning. So there's a little bit of that going on in there as well. So that's a way to think about it. So again, it's a little bit of a contrast there, but it is kind of hitting on the idea of being gathered into something, and then once you're in it, you're not the way you were before.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. And he made a presentation at a Lutheran youth conference titled Marvel Movies and the Creed, Defend, Guard, Protect, Avenge. You'll find a link to his movie reviews at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
We'll wrap up our conversation on themes from the Apostles' Creed in the Marvel movies next time, talking with Pastor Ted Giese about the resurrection of the body. In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, we'll be back in Luther's Large Catechism, the Apostles' Creed, the third article, God the Holy Spirit. Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House will be our guest. The online Issues Etc. journal is out. I've written an article titled All Things to All Men. When Paul said those words, did he basically require that the church conform to the world, fit in with the world? I'll answer that question in the online Issues Etc. Journal, also the Wittenberg Trail feature, How Are They to Believe? By Pastor David Wan, his story of going from Lutheran congregations to the true Lutheran confession. That's in the online Issues Etc. Journal, issuesetc.org. Click the red button and enter your email address. It's absolutely free. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Paul McCain on the third article of the Creed in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.